The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open to Genesis 1 and to page 6 of your new handout notes. Genesis 1. The protocol for the intake of Bible doctrine requires that the believer be in fellowship under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, so that God the Holy Spirit can enlighten the believer, inform the believer, and lead the believer into truth. This is your opportunity to make that preparation. Short of that, you do not profit with regard to the information that is about to be communicated to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we assemble ourselves under the imperative to grow in grace and knowledge, and all the more as we see the day approaching. We thank you that you continue to provide for us as a local body in Christ the necessary support physically and spiritually in order to make this happen. Be with us in our study of the information before us, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thus far in our study of biblical cosmology, and for anyone who is not aware of, should be aware of terminology, geocentric, heliocentric. Geocentric places the earth at the center, hence geocentric, with regard to the plan of God. Heliocentric is that the sun is at the center of, our solar system, which is not the case and is most definitely not what is, by any honest observation of Genesis 1, etc., what the Word of God is espousing. The Word of God does not espouse this. I don't know what you learned in school, but I know you, all of us, have through our lifetime been indoctrinated directly or indirectly by the heliocentric model. That has been the only one that's really been allowed to be presented in academic institutions. This has been that way for a long time. The geocentric is that the earth and what transpires on it is the center of all of God's outworking of his plan of redemption. And therefore, we come down to, again, notice the order of events briefly. God existed eternally from everlasting to everlasting. God is not bound by time or space. He cannot be put in any kind of a limited, however large it may be, space. Space goes on forever and ever and ever. Let that sink into your head. God, sometimes in theology books they call it the immensity of God. So God exists eternally and has existed eternally and still does as a spirit in infinite, non-ending space. All other beings are finite, including angels and humans, etc. They are finite. They can only occupy one place at a time, even an angel. One place at a time. God fills and existed in infinite space, and he reflects his character through the phenomenon called light. By the way, when we get onto the new earth, there will be no dome. There won't be any need for it. It's kind of like things revert back to the way it was before the restoration process. The complex called the third heaven will not be there during the history, the eternal history of Earth 2, because the throne of God will be relocated on the new earth. I will have a separate point on that somewhere towards the end of this document. The new earth is flat, non-rotating. So, first, God existed eternally. We'll skip over the first act of creation, which was the angels, and their witness to the original creation. The original creation is confined to Genesis 1:1. Now, there are other statements in the Bible about that, but Genesis 1:1 is the foundation. Genesis 1 has been, along with the rest of the Bible, under incredible attack in the world of academia. They can't have it. So there is nothing that a student who is studying either astronomy, earth science, the geological ages, the origin of life forms, will find any credence to Genesis 1. My little experience was that if anything was said about the Bible, it was poo-hooed. It was not on the table for discussion. Well, the Bible is going to win out. The truth is going to win out. Let God be true and every man a liar, to the chagrin and shame of the many, non-Christian and Christian alike, who have been taken in by this at one level or another. And as I have said, it's becoming clear in the history of human ideas and concepts, this vast universe with the earth captured by the sun's gravitation along with the other entities they call planets, captured by the sun's gravitation. It was just out there floating around. It caught it. This is the stuff they teach. Now you can say, well, I don't believe that. So what do you believe? I believe God put it there. Set it over there. Genesis 1 doesn't support this. And anybody who says different is intellectually dishonest. Period. That's what got me, among other things, to begin to get my eyes open in this. I could not support that and make it fit the scripture dealing with creation. So once we get the original earth in place and the heaven complex right over it, as in the footstool analogy, see, that makes more sense. Then you have from the creation of the earth and the creation of the throne room, establishing these two entities. Everything up until the first day of the first week of human history is called the prehistory of the earth. We do not know how long that transpired, how much time as we calculate it was involved there. I have no idea. I'm sure it wasn't some ridiculous number. Everything in academia, they inflate everything. Everything. Distances to things. Time is all blown up into this. The origin of life. All of it is inflated. And all this to get from this place to this place in the starry heavens takes all these light years. Everything's inflated. 7,000 years of human history, you'd be laughed out of places if you espoused that. But there is a biblical chronology that emerges by those who study carefully, first, those boring genealogies. But there's a gold mine there for dates and establishing it, going back and going forward to the end of what we know as human history, 7,000 years. Now, nobody flinched on that before. Maybe they didn't like it that we're out here. I don't know. I don't interview people because I don't want to be discouraged what they're agreeing with and not agreeing with. As I was reminded before class, Jack, just get up and teach it and leave it with volition. That's what I try to do. But I'm trying also to persuade men. Well, you're just ticking me off. Well, that's your problem. You cannot refute this exegetically. Compare over against what is said over and over again and all the ways it's said and all the forums in which we hear this stuff. I was listening to a funny little song, you know, about Are You Out There was the title of it. And it was just some dumb song about are you out there in a cluster of stars in the constellation Hercules that would take you 25,000 years of light years to get there. This is what they promote. And the heavenly bodies, which we're getting to, are not comparatively that far away. And they are completely different in size, makeup, and distance to what is espoused by modern astrophysics. Now, you can go to school, speaking of people in general, you go to school and become an astrophysicist, a theoretical astrophysicist, and play all this little game. It's no different than the elaborate religions that people were so immersed in, paganism. They loved this stuff. They liked all these stories about the gods and the goddesses and the origin of stuff. It was just stories made up by people. Now it's dressed up in science. It's the new religion that crosses all lines and has the masses enthralled. All right. With the fall of Satan, the earth was judged. We have one verse about, well, not just one verse, but in this chapter one, we have the second verse. Something happened that upset, quote, paradise. The fall of the angels. And the earth in this ice pack. Now, I've taught that ever since I was here with y'all. It was called the gap theory. It's not a theory. It's based on sound scripture. That the origin of the earth encased in water, no land, no terra firma showing above it. Darkness created by God as to indicate the angelic conflict, the fall of Satan. Satan and all that is associated with darkness. So physical darkness, which is nothing evil about physical darkness, any more than there's anything evil about yeast. But yeast is used in Scripture as a symbol of evil. A little bit of leaven wrecks the whole thing. Leaven's a whole lump. Well, we like it in nice, lovely bread products. But it's just a symbol. It's a symbol of, it causes the dough and everything to rise up. There's nothing wrong with darkness. It serves a purpose for humanity. God set that, but darkness was absolute. Now, the creation of and the order of events. If you were to take a quiz on this, how can you argue with this? There are those theologians and interpreters that will not accept 7 days. What? The language is so clear, day one, day two, through seven, of which six things were added in each consecutive day that were not there the day before. That's the Hebrew account inspired of God for the origin of the things that are a part of the world, as the earth, as it was restored, so that man and the lower creation could thrive on it, exist. Again, do I have to say, it is so opposite of the so-called science that is everywhere. So how are you surprised that they haven't even got the shape of the earth right? If you believe Satan is a deceiver, he is going to jump all over this, and already has, jump all over this, peddle this stuff to the human race, and there's plenty of people that will buy into it because it's sexy, because it's the way to go, because everybody else is doing it. This is where got all of its momentum, because the old order of believing that these things came about as a result of the shenanigans of the gods and the goddesses, that wore thin, probably as a result of Christianity, more than anything challenging this mess. And it came crumbling down. So the angelic conflict, the dark side, has to retool and start putting out this fake science that our little kids learn in school. I don't know about you, I took biology in high school. It was okay to study, you know, what are the various parts of a flower, because we can observe that, take it apart, and those names and everything were perfect. But they couldn't tell you the truth of where those flowers or plants came from. So they gave you this theoretical stuff. They didn't even give you an alternative view. Because the Bible's unscientific. See, that's a slander term. It is very scientific. It isn't designed to be a scientific textbook, a math textbook, or anything like that. But when it does deal with these subjects, it isn't screwy, wrong, upside down. It's the Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. And He isn't going to tell us stuff that isn't true. Then how can you trust anything else in the Bible? Maybe that doesn't mean what it says. You see that slippery slope once people go down that path? This has been the ultimate test for Maranatha Church in the last days. Where are you going to stand? That's up to you. All the reasons I've said, more to come, there's no going back for me. None. You can call me whatever names you want. You can do whatever you want. And I'm talking to people that might be still listening to the tape. The tapes. I'm sorry. Listening to the web thing with this. You better get on your knees before Almighty God instead of screwing your face up and being ticked off. And you better get on your knees. And you better pray, if I'm wrong, and Jack's right, or Maranatha is right, or this is right, you better do to me what you got to do to me to get my stubborn attention. You got the guts to do that one? You got the courage to do that? Because God, I want to know the truth on this. I'm in between two things. I see the merits of this, but I'm all caught up in this. You need to pray about it. Give me wisdom. Break down what you got to break down in my thinking that if it's wrong. Because if you can't stand firm and defend the Bible, I don't care what they say. You know, that academia is a perfect environment, especially, you know, you get up into college and stuff. You know, unless you're taking some course that doesn't have any much to do with it. But, you know, a general liberal arts education. Sounded so neat back then, you know, liberal arts. Okay, I'm going to take English Lit. I'm going to take some philosophy course. Junk. No, that's okay in English Literature, but in those courses, I've told you this before. God gave me a little bird's eye view, and I just saw a little bit of it. At the University of Missouri, St. Louis branch. Any of you believe that Adam and Eve really existed? That we all came from a man and a woman? I do, because Adam and Eve were mentioned in some of the English Lit. So he had to take his little pot shot at it. What's your alternative to Adam and Eve? This evolutionary mess? And then, of course, I told you about the maligning Moses and his paternity and his parents, and said he was an off. He was a bastard child of whatever. I'll never forget that day. 1,200 students in that class. And my friend, at the time, Terry Crisip. Yes, what do you have to say? He says, well, I have a very ancient document. It's clear that these writings are very ancient. And he read from the book of Exodus regarding the origin of Moses. It had nothing to do with what this clown put out, who was very popular with his students because he was flamboyant. He had funny jokes and everything. His last name was Burns, professor of history. He named his poor son Hart. He thought that was funny. He was an Anglican. He told all kinds of jokes. He'd be run out of there today because they'd say he's a racist. But they were really funny. But he was a jerk. He was using, just to teach history, opportunity to slam the Bible. That's gone on so many places, so many times, it isn't funny. But all these scoffers, all these people, they're going to be put in their place. They're called the wise, the wisdom of the wise. It's going to be brought down around their ears. And it's beginning to happen. It's beginning to happen. As we move closer to the tribulation, and some people are getting wise to this con job, and the Christian, a believer, and one who professes positive volition ought to be the first to line up with it and see it. It may take a minute because there's a lot of stuff to wash out. The time you turn on the TV, there's a globe, a round circle. That etches it in your mind. Eh? One more reinforcement of the lie. And the contradiction to Genesis chapter 1. I've told you before that I've studied the Bible with you. I've gone through Genesis and other things, and there were things that made me flinch. How's that work? So I just say something. It had no basis. Well, I guess that's when God set up the solar system. BS. Because I didn't know any better. Now I do. Think through what you're asked to believe. That gravity is strong enough from the sun at 93 million miles to hold this great big earth, heavy as it is, in this circle all around it. Not God, gravity. And that the earth can also hold the moon around it. And the moon is also gravity strong enough to cause tides. All that I was fed all this stuff. It didn't make any sense. I told you Sunday about asking someone a question. How can the Nile flow uphill? It's got to go up, 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 up. Rivers flow downhill, last time I checked. That's the nature of water. It seeks its lowest level. One person here says, you know what they told me when that was brought up? Because we never even ask questions. Don't even ask any hard questions. But that the question came up. Well, magnetism does it. Magnetism? Oh, please. Pulling all that water from the Nile? More BS. Not the truth. Doesn't work. Do not give up your sense of common sense and observational capacity. Do not abandon that to some fancy stuff out there that people have been saying. Think and pray about stuff. All right. Well, what'd the earth get in its redo? In its redo, after we have a day of light, I think God put the light in there, and that's the kind of glory. The reason He did that, and that light ran around, much like you might see in a deal with at night when they're trying to find somebody that's running from the law, and they have a helicopter, and they have a light, and they're running along the ground with it. This light served the purpose of what the sun would come in and plug into, and then it was shut off, but not until we get down here to. The fourth day. 3 days. The earth did just fine. But what was on it, at least? with no sun. Why do you think God shoved the sun down there at the fourth day? Put the dome on it next. That gets us to the second day. So the sun, moon, and stars, according to the Genesis account. Are you mad at me because I point this out? I'm just a reporter of what's here. I'm reading a document that we say is the word that is the inerrant word of God. If it wasn't the inerrant word of God, I'd find a job doing something else. I will not settle for 90% pure in this case. I won't settle for it. I wouldn't know what would be pure and what wouldn't. God has His Word, His inerrant, perfect Word of God. The sun, moon, and stars were created. On the fourth day of restoration would be on our naming of the days, our Wednesday. The origin of the celestial realm, sun, moon, and stars, is mentioned in Genesis 1, 14 through 16 of your Bible. Let there be lights. He didn't give them names yet. I think he let man do that. He could have. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to separate the day from the night. That's all straightforward. This is what we observe. And let them be for signs. The 12 constellations. Boy, is that an elaborate setup for the teaching of the plan of God. The gospel and the stars, or the plan of God and the stars, requires that they're all, but a lot of them are fixed. They're not running all over the place. They're fixed. For seasons, for days and years, it establishes a time, a wait, like a watch, to get time. And man has used it ever since. During the French Revolution, they wanted to change all this, the dummies. And there's a verse in Revelation about how he seeks to change times and stuff, the Antichrist. But people realize, no, it's a seven-day week and all the rest of it, and we're not going to go trying to do something different in rebellion against this. He made two great lights. The greater light to govern or rule the day, and the lesser light to govern or rule the night. And then, as kind of an afterthought, he made the stars also. You know, the stars are pretty big deal, but it's kind of like an afterthought. I'm trying to see why it was worded just like that. It's kind of like, throw this in. God knew that ancient man would begin to worship the stars, the moon, and the sun. Sun worshipers, moon worshipers. He knew it. So he drops in his, it's my guess, so that's why he dropped this on the fourth day. He didn't put it on day one. He didn't even put it on day three. The date for restoration, as established by a strict adherence, and again, even evangelicals that write commentaries and do the Bible, there's those that they don't want to take the genealogy strictly. They want to add stuff or gaps or something to stretch out time. There's no authorization for that. Or it becomes almost nonsensical. Is 3954 B.C., Bishop Usher, way back in the day, he was almost right. I think he had, in the King James Version, he had like 4003 B.C. You know, he's only about 50 years off. Not too bad. Based on a strict analysis of the Genesis genealogy for the antediluvian line of Messiah and the in Genesis 5, and then after that, this is compatible with the idea that there are seven 1,000 years of history, each millennia corresponding to a day of the week. 7-7. The luminaries were placed inside the firmament. And verses 14 and 15, let there be lights in the dome. Not outside it. And I have lost all. I have no use for the New American Standard Translation expanse. It's not helpful. And that's also based on the other words for this dome, vault, and the metaphorical or the poetic, he made a tent for the sun. What the blank is that? You know what a tent does, don't you? It covers up something. And he said he made a tent for the sun. That means the tent is has this tent stretched out over it. So there you have a verse like that. Imagine reading that and trying to explain it under the current system that's out there, and you would go, what that means. I wouldn't. Couldn't possibly know what it meant. In a million years. Why would you say it like that? What am I supposed to do? Just brush over it? That's what I had to do in the past. Now I know it's the dome. And he uses the poetic language of a tent stretched over a piece of ground. Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. It's restated in verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Now, in the margins of some New American Standard versions, I've been told, the word firmament is retained. That's the original translation of the English authorized version that people went by for a long time. But you understand that even translators are influenced by that out there. Their understanding, their theology of things, so they put it in there. It's not helpful. It's not listed, that Hebrew word, rakia, is not listed as expanse in any lexicon that I know of. The big ones, the old ones, the more modern ones. It's not there. It is a technical word. So, here is the kick in the head. Didn't it shock you? That the Bible says vegetation. Well, on that day, the day before, the third day, that's the first day that we get two things, two happenings on that work day. Because all the work days, God did things. He could have done it instantly. But no. He's establishing the human week. And all he wants to do. So he does one thing one day, one the next, and so forth. Working your way down. And we get to the third day. We get to the third day, that's verse 9. God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now you have to visualize that, I guess. That would involve a continental uplift. It doesn't have to be dramatic and just boom. The land mass that was raised up through the power of God, through no known geological force that raised this up, the landmass did not have to be that deep beneath the ocean. If water covers something, it can be an inch and it covers it. So this was so you don't have all this amount of water going down. So I'm talking here just to try to work with it. So. He called the dry land earth, Eretz, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. Yamim. And God saw that was good. Now, we've got land, and we have to have terra firma with the water off of it in order to put these other features in. So there is a logical sequence. But he could have flipped this around and put day three for the luminaries, but he didn't. It's kind of like a little twist. God can do whatever he wants to do. Okay, I understand what the people, when they say this all the time, trying to justify something stupid. No, God couldn't create a ball and put humans on it like we are, and we could survive and flourish and thrive on it. No way. Water wouldn't adhere properly. Can you imagine? Curvature everywhere. Every building and structure that has to be built, we've got to figure the curvature here. Because you can't set. You got anything rounded? Set something with a flat bottom and try to set it on it. You can't do it. Start thinking about this stuff. And after a while, it will become so preposterous and so stupid in your thinking, you will wonder how you ever were fooled by this. One guy's got a deal out there. I'll give you $10,000 if you buy a legitimate experiment can prove motion or curvature. But you've got to follow my ground rules, and you can't play games and say, well, what I saw, or any mess like that. It has to be a bona fide experiment. In fact, there's already been done an experiment that shows the earth isn't moving by trained scientists back in the day. The Michelson-Morley. They believed it was moving. They just wanted to prove it. So they did an honest experiment, and they did it over and over, and every time, no motion. Along comes Einstein to the rescue. Theory of relativity. He made this up because they had to save the thing. That's how Satan works. He was a hack, a genius. I'm not saying he wasn't a genius. But many of the philosophers and thinkers in the world are geniuses. That doesn't give them any spiritual edge. They're just wise men with high IQs and fertile imaginations. How can some people write really interesting books and stuff, or write good songs, or do whatever people do, all these talents? How can they do it? They got the genetics. But you put them as negative people out there. They're it's in Romans, inventors of evil. They invent this stuff, teach their students. And since the masses are gullible and want to get along to go along, they're easily indoctrinated, whether it's a religion or a fake science. Do you ever ask yourself, how do all these people fall for evolution? Origin of the species. Well, in Darwin's day, they didn't know squat about a cell and a bunch of other stuff. But he made this up on some observations that he miscalculated. It became the rage. Huxley was his bulldog. Last name Huxley. He pushed this in the academic institutions. There was some resistance. Even with the Copernican system, there was some resistance, but it finally all caved in. Because man does not want God in his thinking. And this system hides God and makes his word look ridiculous. That Bible account. So don't be a part to these people. Okay, they were placed inside the firmament, twice stated. Vegetation preexisted the existence of the luminaries by one day. Vegetation. Let's stop. So evolution says all these plants evolved? Did grass come first? Did all these plants come that benefit the animal kingdom? They evolved first because, you know, A lot of creatures, they eat vegetation. Oh, it's nuts. I've never had any problems around here. You know, I don't know what certain individuals think in their own heads privately, and I don't want to. But the idea of evolution is just, let's flip the script. What is more opposite than the origin of plants, and then down in the passage, animals, both aquatic, land-based, and birds? Pretty well covered it. What's more logical? Evolution is a big lie. But they couldn't sold the world on evolution if they didn't have this ancient universe measured in how many years? Billions. As off of the Big Bang. They couldn't sell this other stuff. They had to have it. In fact, Darwin was thankful to people like Newton and Copernicus and these people because he couldn't peddle his ideas without it. Because the old world was, apart from the ancient world, they were more into the Bible. Noah's great flood and all this business. And the early Christians on the Copernicus thing, there was those that fought it and spoke out against it, like Martin Luther, one of the reformers. And then in the 1900s, there were Christians in this country are writing articles and they were fighting this thing. But eventually, the Christians all capitulated. So they changed the words in one of our songs. On this terrestrial ball. That isn't the original words. They gave into it. Because Christians refused to be salt. And stand up to this. There's those that kept a lot of the Bible. But then No. We're not doing that. But there's a comeback. And this is what I know. There's a comeback. And because of the web, and why would they censor this? If it's so whacked out, why would they censor it? Why would Google begin to censor certain things? Miracle cures. They don't want any alternate cures to Big Pharma. 9/11. So they want to censor this. So much for the freedom of ideas in the marketplace of people where we have freedom to think and talk and debate. They want to shut this down. And flat earth was at the top of their list. If it's so easy to refute, it turns out it isn't, is it? It turns out it's a little tougher nut to crack than they thought. Because when you start, and I will use both, like a fighter, I will use the right cross, that's the Bible, and I will use the science when I see fit. When I will tell you something doesn't make any damn sense, it doesn't. You've been conned. You walk out there, looks like the sun's moving. It's because it is. Yeah, but did you know you were going 1,000 miles an hour? Standing out there in that parking lot? You're moving 1,000 miles an hour. And you are oblivious to it. Unbelievable. The slightest motion, and you know it. And that's what they sold you? And everything else is moving just perfectly with it, even if the birds fly in the opposite direction? It's also going backwards? If it's flying against the spin? West. That's west. Against the spin. But the birds also move in this way too? I give up. That's too much to ask. But on a flat earth, you have none of these problems. So if God was going to do something that made sense, that works for the kind of a creation he wants, wouldn't it make more sense to put it on a flat earth under a dome that's non-rotating and non-moving, and then we got all these scriptures to back it up? The earth cannot be moved. Oh, but it is, sir. It's moving 66,000 miles an hour.
and spinning in time also, and maybe even wobbling. Would you write that in a book? If you were God and it's inspired, would you say the earth cannot be moved and it's hanging on nothing? Oh, it's hanging on gravity. It's hanging on nothing. And God upholds this thing in this vast, endless universe. He upholds this entity with the heaven above it. It's all held up. He upholds all things by the word of His power. So His power is holding it in place. It couldn't be sitting on anything. If He quit holding it, we'd just fall endlessly through His face. He upholds it. Okay. So in the point for you today, vegetation. See, I didn't know this back in the day. When I went to church, I haven't break this down for me. So we're breaking it down for you. Where did we get all these lovely plants? Some are not so lovely, but there's a curse too. Noxious weeds and other things. Cactus. They're pretty, but you don't want to mess with them. So that came later. This is the power of our God. And to reject this is to deny Him. He took on the role of gardener. And all the plants He put here, from the smallest fungus all the way up, the whole thing, all of it was full grown and mature. If you walked up to one of those trees, you'd think the thing was, if you cut it down and counted the rings, it'd be like hundreds of years old, the big ones. Okay? So, He did this. God can do anything. Okay, He can do anything, right? And He did it in that part of that day after He got the ground up there. He put all these plants out there. Wouldn't that be fun to see that reenacted in the millennium in a movie? Bare earth. And then see this all start coming together. And I don't think He did it just like, because it wouldn't have took 6 days. Each thing's in place. I think He did it gradually. I think you'd see it running across the... But that's just my idea. We'll see if I'm right about that part. But I am right about this part. And so for your edification, what's older? The sun, moon, and stars, or the plant kingdom? Well, you know. There's your answer. By one day. That's what your Bible says. Take it or leave it. There is nothing in the academic world that even remotely goes with this. They would laugh and scoff to no end. We're going to win. We're going to win on this. And I think it's great that this chapter starts off the Bible. Challenge it. Play your games with it. Tomorrow night, if you're still with me and still tuned in, we will deal with what the Bible says the features of this earth we live on are indeed. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.